नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 4, Text Number 10. Tam Cheva Tam Surakrita Bhavon Tahaya
Tam Cheva Tam Surakrita Bhavon
Tahaya Shvako Vidangya Paramham Rajitam Parante
Shvako Vidangya Paramham Rajitam Parante
Nanyasya Bhakti Shivarin Dadatha Svabhagam
Nanyasya Bhakti Shivarin Dadatha Svabhagam
Dati Patam Tvamavithaya Dhignalodhi
Dati Patam Tvamavithaya Dhignalodhi
Tvam
You
Sevatam
Sevatam
For those who serve me.
For those who are serving,
Surakritaha,
Surakritaha,
made by the demigods,
made by the demigods,
Bahava,
Bahava,
many,
many,
Antarayaha,
Antarayaha,
disturbances,
disturbances,
Svapakshaha,
Svapakshaha,
their own abode,
their own abode,
the planets of the demigods,
the planets of the demigods,
Vilanya,
Vilanya,
crossing beyond,
crossing beyond,
Paramam,
Paramam,
the supreme, Rajatam,
Rajatam,
who are going,
who are going,
Padam,
Padam,
to the abode,
to the abode,
Te,
your,
Na,
Na,
they are not such,
they are not such,
Anyasya,
Anyasya,
for another,
for another,
Bhakti,
Bhakti,
in ritual sacrifices,
in ritual sacrifices,
Balin,
Balin,
offerings,
offerings,
Dadatha,
Dadatha,
for one who is giving,
for one who is giving,
Svabhagavan,
Svabhagavan,
the own shares,
the own shares,
of the demigods,
of the demigods,
Dapte,
Dapte,
the devotee places,
the devotee places,
Padam,
Padam,
his foot,
his foot,
Tvam,
Tvam,
you,
you,
Adita,
Adita,
the protector,
the protector,
Yadhi,
Yadhi,
because,
because,
Vigna,
Vigna,
of the disturbance,
of the disturbance,
Murudni,
Murudni,
upon the head,
upon the head.
Translation. The demigods place many obstacles on the path of those who worship you to transcend the temporary abodes of the demigods and reach your supreme abode. Those who offer the demigods their assigned shares in sacrificial performances encounter no such obstacles. But because you are the direct protector of your devotee, he is able to step over the head of whatever obstacle the demigods place before him. Purport. The demigods, headed by Kamadev or Cupid, recognizing their offense at the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, Narayana Rishi, here point out the insignificant position of the demigods in relation to the Supreme Lord. Just as a farmer must pay a specific percentage of his agricultural profit to the king or political head as tax money, all human beings must offer a percentage of their material wealth to the demigods in sacrifice. In Bhagavad Gita, however, the Lord explains that the demigods are also his servants, and it is he himself who awards all benedictions through the agency of the demigods. Vayevam vihitam hitam. Although a Vaishnava or devotee of the Lord has no need to worship the demigods, the demigods, being proud of their exalted material position, sometimes resent the exclusive devotion of the Vaishnavas to the Lord and thus tried to cause the devotee to fall down, as described in this verse, Surakrita Bhavo Rantarayaha. But the demigod here points out that Krishna is directly the protector of his devotees. Therefore, so-called impediments become stimuli for further spiritual advancement for a sincere devotee. The demigod here states, we thought, our dear Lord, that we could disturb your consciousness by our foolish tricks. But by your mercy, even your devotees pay little regard to us. So why should you take our foolish behaviour seriously? The word yadi here is used to indicate the certainty that Krishna is always the protector of his surrendered devotees. Although there may be many obstacles on the path of the sincere devotee who is preaching the glories of the Lord, such obstacles increase the determination of the devotee. Therefore, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, the continuous obstacles presented by the demigods form a kind of ladder or stairway upon which the devotee steadily progresses back to the kingdom of God. A similar verse appears in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.33. Tatana te madhava devaka pachit brashanti magat payi vidha surida thaya nukta vicharanti nirvaya vinayana kanikapa mudhasa prabho. O Madhava, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you sometimes fall from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees, for you still protect them. Thus they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continue to progress in devotional service. Translation again, the demigods place many obstacles on the path of those who worship you, to transcend the temporary abodes of the demigods and reach your supreme abode. Those who offer the demigods their assigned shares in sacrificial performances encounter no such obstacles. But because you are the direct protector of your devotee, he is able to step over the head of whatever obstacle the demigods place before him. Here it describes that in the third board that the demigods, being proud of their exalted material position, sometimes resent the exclusive devotion of the Vaishnava to the Lord and thus try to cause the devotee to fall down, as described in this verse. So I was listening to tape the other day, and someone asked Srila Prabhupada a question similar to this, that why would Krishna, if Krishna wants us to go back to Godhead, then why would he make it so hard for us to go back to Godhead? So it seems like a contradiction. Because it's stated in the Bhagavad Gita that of many, many thousands of men, hardly one will try and achieve perfection, realize their spiritual nature. And amongst, you know, that amongst many thousands of those who are aware of themselves, that vastly outnumbered by those who are not trying, that's the point. Of those who are attempting, hardly a few will actually realise their spiritual nature. Now that is very rare. That's your own. That's the whole slogan, Nanushinam Sahasrashu Yashu Yadanushidam.
Yes.
So then amongst those who achieve perfection, spiritual self-realization, hardly one amongst many thousands of them may understand Krishna. So we can see that it is a very difficult task. And Krishna also says later in the Bhagavad Gita as well that after many, many, many births and deaths, gradually one may realize that Vasudeva, Krishna, is everything. So definitely, it is stated there in the Bhagavad Gita. It's a very difficult, long process. It doesn't happen just like that. So, in that sense, it would appear that the Supreme Lord is actually making it very difficult for us to go back to Godhead. So the question is asked, how can one therefore say that the Lord is actually eager for us to go back to Godhead? Because it just doesn't seem that way. And Srila Prabhupada's answer was that the answer is that actually we don't want to go back to Godhead. That was the answer. He was also making the point that where it says that although it takes many, many, many births, because we don't want to go back to Godhead, therefore there's a very slow process. In other words, for those who are really interested in enjoying the material world and have a little interest to go back to Godhead, they follow Karma Yoga. They may do that. And that's, even they are very progressed in the human form of life. It's probably taken them many, many births in the human species to get to that level of advanced consciousness. And after many, many, many births, hundreds of births, their desire, not necessarily to go back to Godhead, but to realize their the spiritual aspect of existence, that becomes a little stronger. And so for them, they will follow for many, many, many lifetimes the process of Dhyana Yoga. And as they want to get direct realization of the self and the super soul within the heart, then they will take up the process of the Astanga Yoga. So there is an increasing desire for spiritual understanding, relief from material existence, but still that desire to go back to the spiritual world is not so strong in comparison to the desire to either enjoy material sense gratification, either piously or impiously, or the desire to enjoy the position of peacefulness and in the material world, where one is existing in the material world but somehow aloof from the suffering, or one has strong desires like the yogis to enjoy the mystic perfections, the mystic cities by which they have vast power over the various energies within the material body and within the material world. So as you can see, right through these different, so it takes many, 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 many lifetimes, and you can see that throughout the course of that time, the living entities actually have just a little desire for spirituality. As far as going back to Godhead, it's not very strong at all. Even when they become yogis, many yogis, they become perfect yogis. And with their perfection, they want to go to the moon planet or to, this life or, this planet or what have you. And some may want to go to Vaikuntha. But amongst them, even very rare, that desire to go to Krishna Loka, very rarely manifest. So, as Prabhupada is saying, that it is very, very difficult and takes many, many lifetimes because we are, have a strong desire to stay in the material world. But then Prabhupada says that, but if you take that verse, that after many, many lifetimes, an intelligent person will think that if after many, 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 many lifetimes, hundreds, thousands of lifetimes in the human form, what to speak of how many lifetimes we spent evolving, coming up through the animal species, if I have to come to the point to understand Vasudeva, Krishna is everything, why not come to that immediately? And sort of Prabhupada states that one can come to that point immediately if one follows Krishna's process and surrenders to Krishna. Right. So, in other words, if we have a strong desire to stay in the material world, it can take many, many lifetimes and appear like a really difficult job to get back to Godhead. But if someone actually wants to go back to the spiritual world and they take up Krishna's instruction, surrender unto me, then they can very quickly, immediately, and very easily go back to the spiritual world. So we can see that Krishna is very eager to have all the living entities go back to the spiritual world. So it is not his fault that it is very difficult. It is our fault, of course, that we make the process difficult by not taking up the direct process that Krishna is giving us. And as we've given the example many times, it's like trying to cook, with either wet wood, and maybe it worse to have the pot, way above the fire. In this way, although we can say yes, we're cooking, but it will take many, many, perhaps we may never get it cooked. So here, in one sense, although it's described here that it says the demigod being proud of their exalted material position sometimes resent the exclusive devotion of the Vaishnavas to the Lord and thus cause the devotee to fall down. We should be careful, of course, not to think that whenever there's some difficulty, some envious demigod has, got it in for me. And we also should be careful not to be so proud that, we are some threat, to the demigod, that my tiny little austerities that I'm performing is somehow scaring Indra. He's shaking his golden boots in the heavenly kingdom. But we see that with very, very powerful sages, of course. They make very powerful sages and perhaps very, very powerful devotees. There may be, sometimes instances where a particular demigod may become envious and certainly may try and cause that devotee to fall down. So that can be there. But we shouldn't take it as a blanket rule that covers all problems that devotees have. That would be foolish. That would be disrespectful to the demigods. Of course, it would be an overestimation of our own austerities and devotion, and a misunderstanding of the way the universe works. As we said, the demigods are in effect carrying out the orders of the Supreme Lord, as described in the Brahma Samhita in, I think it's verse number 6, that it describes Goloka Vrindavan, and Goloka Vrindavan is Lord Brahma in his transcendental vision. He describes it. It is like a lotus. So there is the whirl of the lotus, which is Gokul, that is an underground, is a place of the residence of Krishna's parents, and from there all of Krishna's madhuri ras, his conjugal loving pastimes with Radharani and the gopis, expand from that whirl of that lotus. And then there are the different petals of the lotus, where the different, which are the abodes of the various gopis and cowherds. Surrounding this lotus is a quadrangular shaped area, which is known as Sacred Vip, which actually is understood to be Mathura and Dwarka Dham. So, and of course, surrounding this is Vaikuntha Loka. So, then it describes in that verse that protecting the entrance to Gokul, or even Sacred Vip, there are 10 tridents in all directions. Those tridents actually represent the three modes of material nature and the three phases of time, past, present and future. So they are those tridents which are wielded by the associates of the Lord who protect the Dharma. And they protect the Dharma by only allowing those into the Dharma who have the similar mood of love. In this temple, of course, or in any temple, there is always, as it probably described in previous verses, that temples of the Lord, of course, are there to offer facility for many people to come and take up Krishna consciousness and develop their love for God. And some live within the temple, some visit the temple, some, you know, are doing services at the temple. So everyone is invited, and yet there is also a policy that the sanctity and the pure atmosphere of the temple always be protected and preserved. So in other words, although everyone is invited, those who take up that opportunity still have to come up to a certain standard in order to fit in. It's not that anyone can, you know, live in an ashram or even, you know, serve regularly among the devotees if their mood is completely different. If someone is has no respect for Krishna, no respect for the Supreme Lord, if their activities are quite, you know, impure or sinful, they will then, in one sense, in order to preserve the sanctity, the atmosphere, the purity of the temple, then there are some restrictions as to how much time, or, you know, even whether any time is available to certain persons. So that is natural. So the holy Dharma, actually this is a holy Dharma, the temple of the Lord, and it is also protected by the associates of the Lord in the same way that any Dharma of the Lord is protected by the modes of material nature and by the phase of time. So we see that although it is an open invitation, when the mood of service for Krishna is not developed to a certain point, then that particular person is kept away by the modes of material nature. They become entangled in material life, material activities, material reactions, in such a way that they have it becomes impossible for them to approach the temple, even to offer a little flower, to do a little service. So time and the modes of material nature. So we can see that even on our level. So the same principle is there for the holy dharma, the Loka Vrindavan. And the higher that one tries to go, you know, one can go to the heavenly planets, and then above them there are higher heavenly planets, and above them there are higher heavenly planets. One can get to Brahma Loka. So even within the material world, even to attain those heavenly planets, as Srila Prabhupada often said, you know, they cannot actually go to the moon. Maybe they've gone to the Arizona desert, or you know, to Rahu or something. But to actually enter within the moon planet, you actually have to be qualified with the right consciousness. By developing the right consciousness, you get awarded the right particular body, and then you are allowed entrance. So even to go to different planetary systems within this universe, what to speak of this universe, even to go to certain countries, right? If you go to a certain country, you have a certain mood that's considered that will aggravate the government and people, then you can't even get into a certain country in this world. They have their tridents, their ways to keep you out. What to speak of the heavenly planets. So the higher you go, then if you want to go above the material world, to Vaikuntha Loka, or to Ayodhya, or to Dwarka or Mathura, the consciousness, the mood of love, ultimately has to become more and more purified and more intense and suitable to the residents who reside there. So this principle we actually see throughout in this world, in our temple, any countries, the heavenly planets, and the same. And to get to Goloka Vrindavan, the highest place of pure love, one has to develop that sort of consciousness as well. And so for each and every step there is a test. Just like if you want to enter the country of Australia or America, you have to have some test. If you qualify, you can come in. If you don't qualify, you don't. So there are those tests come in the form of certain where our impurity is. In other words, where our love for Krishna stops. At that point, we're happy with some love for the Supreme Lord and some personal facility. So there are different grades. In the material world, we want huge amount of personal facility, material facility, a little bit of love for Krishna, like that. Or some no love. As we go up, even in the heavenly planets, the servants of the Lord have to become more and more, as described, Lord Brahma is considered to be the best of devotees of the Lord, and therefore to attain that position of Brahma, amongst all the different demigods, he has to be considered the best of the devotees of the Lord. That is a qualification. So there's obviously a great love for the Lord, and at the same time there is still some desire for material facility. Therefore Lord Brahma still remains in the material world, because there's that desire that I will enjoy the whole universe, and I will be controller and enjoyer of this. Now, if one's material desires are reduced to nil, and one develops love for the Lord, as Sanatana Goswami describes in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that there are four types of devotees. There are the Gyanamis Prabhaktas. Actually, I think they say, is it four or five? I think it's four and a half. It must be, I think it's five types of devotees. Four and a half, they say. The Gyanamis Prabhaktas, they say it's a half a devotee because it's just, you know, that mixture of. That knowledge is not for mundane knowledge, it is knowledge about spiritual matters, but there is some bhakti there. Then there is the pure devotee, Sudha bhakti, is it? What is that? No, that's good. They didn't even quite get in the list. But then there is the devotee, the pure devotee, loving devotee, and pure loving devotee. And then there's according to their level of love, so they're all, you know, devotees of the Lord. Some attain Vaikuntha. Some are like the examples are given. There is Ambarish Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, and then Hanuman, you know, and the Pandavas. So progressively, examples are given in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita of those different levels of devotees. And above all of them, of course, is the those devotees who have overwhelming pure love for the Supreme Lord. Of course, they approach the Loka Vrindavan. So even on that platform of pure devotees, some they're satisfied to associate with the Lord. There are five different types of liberation. In personal liberation, they don't accept it. The other four, to associate with the Lord, to live on the same planet as the Lord, to have the same opulences as the Lord. Same form as the Lord. They fit into those different categories, and they can reside in Vaikuntha, or they, you know, their love is a little bit more intense, a little bit more without any motivation, even spiritually, even, you know, Ayodhya or Dwarka, Mathura. But in Goloka Vrindavan, there is, though they have no, their only motive, of course, is the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. There's no spiritual satisfaction. They're not after any personal spiritual satisfaction, any particular type of liberation or anything. They're just simply concerned, is Krishna happy? And they love Krishna, not because he's God, but because their very essence of their being is just love. There's no reason, it's causeless. Their very nature, their very form, their very essence, their very mood is non-different from pure love of God. And without any cause at all, they simply love the Supreme Lord. Others may attain Vaikuntha or what have you because they love God because he is the Supreme Lord, like that. But in Vaikuntha, just like Krishna says that one should surrender unto me. So generally, people learn to understand that Krishna is God and therefore they surrender. So there is a cause for their surrender and then the effect of surrender. But the gopis weren't like that. They surrendered and loved Krishna without any awareness that he was God. There was causes. So their surrender is on a different level, a higher level. It's causes. So that is the platform. So for each, in order to attain the next level, one has to not be attracted by the particular attractions of that level. So in one sense, you know, the tridents will keep one in the material world, or the tridents will keep one within the Brahma Jyoti, like this. To get the Goloka Vrindavan, one has to get beyond any attraction at all, even to Krishna's spiritual opulences. And therefore, in essence, the demigods are actually performing a service on behalf of the Lord, that he wants the even the various upper planetary systems, they have to be protected. It's their service. You know, just like as we're saying, even as devotees, it is a service that we invite everyone to come, but still we protect the sanctity of the temple. It's not that we're envious. And in many cases, the demigods are actually performing a service of protecting the various heavenly planets, they're performing a service, and they're also eternal type demigods in the spiritual realm who also protect the dharmas at all different levels, like that. It is a service, it's not out of envy. We see that the gatekeepers, they did not let Jaya Vijay in because there was some incident and they considered you're not fit to enter. So, like this. So, it's not out of envy. It's actually service. Sometimes it happens out of envy, though. Some demigods out of envy will simply, they will think like that, oh, someone is after my position, and they will cause something difficult like that. But the point here, of course, is that the demigods here, basically by this prayer, they're stating that we thought, our dear Lord, that we could disturb your consciousness by our foolish tricks, but by your mercy even your devotees pay little regard to us, so why should you take our foolish behaviour seriously? So that's the inner meaning of what they're saying here, that we couldn't disturb you with our foolish tricks, so and even your devotees don't pay us much regard, right? So, please don't take our behaviour so seriously, because they cause some offence. That's why they're presenting this statement. But they are confirming that whether it is by, whether some demigods become envious and cause havoc for particular sadhus or devotees, or whether they're actually performing their task of, protecting the various abodes which are set up by the Lord. Either way, they cannot actually disturb a devotee who has a desire to go back to Godhead. If a devotee desires to serve the Supreme Lord, there can be no impediment. So they are confirming that, and that is also what Srila Prabhupada is confirming. So one should not think, somehow I'm trying to become, do devotional service, but so many things are placing obstacles that I cannot do. Ultimately, sometimes we may have an unconscious desire not to actually surrender to Krishna, and we can pass that off as, oh, so many obstacles are being placed in our way. But it's actually really coming from ourselves. But as Prabhupada was making the point, and as the demigods are making the point, if we actually want to serve Krishna, and if we actually want to go all the way to Goloka Vrindavan, then nothing can stop the devotee, and Krishna is very, very eager. Very eager for us to go back. And it's actually described that even devotees in the chapter 4 of the Nectar Devotion, even if devotees go to Vaikuntha or Ayodhya or places like that, Even there, they have a desire to then go further, to go over Vrindavan, they can actually do that. But Krishna is always eager. There's unlimited room in the spiritual world. It's not that the residents, like here, you know, we try overpopulation and scarcity, you know, so, you know, keep this one out of their country and what have you like that. Spiritual world is unlimited. Unlimited. And Krishna is so eager. In fact, the very reason Krishna expanded himself unlimitedly as so many different incarnations, so many different forms, so many different energies, so many different living jivas, is to increase the bliss. He purposely expanded himself unlimited living entities to increase the spiritual bliss. So he is waiting for us to go back to the spiritual world. And that opportunity is always there. And there's no impediment if we have that strong desire to do so. I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments.
Yep. In the initial class, you mentioned like covering the sweater, if there are 10 tridents, which are modes of nature.
The points of the trident, yeah, the three points of the trident.
So those tridents are in spiritual world itself, isn't it?
The tridents, yes, for instance, the modes of material nature, ultimately, they are under the control of time. And time, of course, is the energy of Mahavishnu. When Mahavishnu glanced at the material energy, then his consort, Ramanandi, in the form of time, she carried the living entities to the material energy and also electrified the material energy. The time energy is actually Krishna's Ichi Shakti and Kriya Shakti, a combination. So the Lord has three energies. Ichi, Gyana, Kriya, and time actually is Ramadevi expands as a time factor representing the Lord's will, Ichi Shakti, the Lord's potency of activity, Kriya Shakti, and she contacts material energy in the form of time, activates the modes of material nature. So ultimately, you know, the tridents are held by spiritual personalities. And maybe you know, in the same way that you have the prime minister of the country, so he has his way of keeping criminals out of society, but ultimately although he is doing that, it is done by others on his behalf.
But in the spiritual world, center is Golok Vrindavan and outer petals are Dwarka and Mathura.
Yes.
So, outside that there is Vaikuntha, but in Vaikuntha there is no trident, right?
Vaikuntha is, the outer surrounding of Satan Vee. And the tridents, even up to the Brahma Jyoti, they will have their influence. Yeah. From the Brahmajati to but in another sense there are also forms of tridents even in Vaikuntha, as we see, you know, the Jaya and Vijaya, they were, you know, the gatekeepers, you know, hold their tridents and say you cannot come in. So there are, you know, spiritual personalities who actually guard, they're called sadhus, defected devotees, they actually guard Vaikuntha with various transcendental weapons. When we say 10 tridents, what we're saying is that in all 10 directions there are defences which prevent people from getting into that particular part of the kingdom of God, or material or spiritual. So, you know, to some degree you can say they also exist in Vaikuntha. Brahmajyoti, material world, that is. It does it, see, it does, what's that? That's right. To go to any holy ground, generally Lord Shiva is there to protect. Big palas, I think they call them. You know, all the holy grounds have particular deities. Some demigods, some expansions of the Lord who protect the holy grounds. So, you know, the that verse doesn't, you know, particularly say that the tridents begin here and end there. But it should be understood that if you get to Ayodhya and you want to go to Goloka Vrindavan or even Dwarka, you know, the Ayodhya in the spiritual world, and you want to go to Dwarka, you'll be prevented unless the qualification is there. Those the next entry into the next town is protected. Sometimes it's described those tridents in one sense in the form of Vedic mantras that, you know, for instance, people may chant particular Vedic mantras to attain a certain goal. So in one sense, they're, by attaining that goal, they're limiting themselves from the next goal. So they've created that Vedic mantra has offered them an opportunity to go so far and no further. And the Vedic mantra, in one sense, is acting like a trident, isn't it? If you buy a ticket, you go to, you know, you go to the train station to buy a ticket, that ticket has prevented you from going some places. You can look at it like that. If you buy a ticket to, you know, from Frankfurt to Moorabbin, then that has prevented you from going to this Melbourne. So it's like that. So in some cases, you know, the very process that we're taking for elevation is the trident itself that prevents us from getting into a higher level, you understand? So people chanting Guru's mantras to attain certain levels or even of the spiritual kingdom aren't, in one sense, preventing himself from going further by that very process. But when there is ultimately by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then one is eligible to go beyond all the various tridents and go all the way directly to Goloka Vrindavan. I heard a similar lecture by Prabhupada the other day where he said a similar thing in expanding on some of those things that he said it's very difficult to be impure, and it's actually more easy to be pure. You actually have to go to a lot of trouble to be become degraded. Just like in just like in India previously, Prabhupada described that to eat meat, you would have to somehow go to the outskirts of some village, remote village, where perhaps some of the Muslim people may be eating meat or what have you. And then you'd have to secretly purchase and eat some meat, because you couldn't. And if someone found out, you'd be considered to be, this person is a rascal, don't have anything to do with this person. The same, that fathers, their daughters were protected. The daughters wouldn't go out of the home by themselves, even for one night. And if they did, then no respectable man would marry them. It was very difficult to actually, engage in illicit activities. One had to go to a lot of trouble and then be alienated and ostracized, and so much, then life becomes so difficult that you don't have the backing of the community and what have you. So, and still, it is the same. It is the same today. Any questions, comments? Sorry, all those should come.